We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Outside the Trenches with former Chiefs reporter and insider B.J. Kissel, Super Bowl champion and former K-State All-American offensive lineman Nick Leckie, and KCSN producer Tucker Franklin. The latest headlines, stories, and rumors, plus a blind mail segment where nobody knows what's going to happen. The latest Outside the Trenches, presented by Five Farms Irish Cream, a holiday distillery favorite, starts now. Let's go to B.J. Kissel.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome to this special episode of Outside the Trenches. Nick Leckie could not make it because he is not here in Indianapolis, but you know who is? That guy right there, ESPN's Matt Miller, joining us here at the Tin Roof Bar in Indianapolis, hanging out for the 2023 NFL Scouting Combine. Appreciate everybody following along and absorbing and consuming the content that we've put out the last few days. And right now with Matt, we're going to talk about five players here at the Combine who can help their stock. The teams either have questions or physical things, whatever it is, that they can come and answer some of those questions that teams have. But Matt, welcome to Indy.
Thanks.
How many years have you been coming here now?
I think 14. It might be 15. It's a lot. I know. That makes me feel really old. I kind of started my career late even, so it makes me feel even older. But I love it here. I mean, you and I have a standing date every year at the Combine. This is not it. We're going to get some steaks in front of
across the street.
But it's great. I love Indy. I love the Combine. And it's, you know, it's been amazing to watch this event grow from where it was just like 100 of us in a hallway to now it's a whole spectacle that takes over the city.
So somebody's been a lot of these. Somebody's on day two of their Combine. Tucker Fran. Tucker, how have you enjoyed the Combine so far?
It's been a great experience. Got to see a lot of people. Got to meet a lot of new people as well. In the first Combine, as you mentioned, as we've kind of talked about this week, but great to be out in Indy. I like Indy as a city. I think it's a nice city. I know some people that we've talked to, BJ, have been complaining about the Combine being in Indianapolis.
What?
I think you should stay right here. I don't think you should move.
I'm a creature of habit.
Everyone in the NFL. But taking all of these coaches and scouts and these people have been doing this for like 20, 30 years and then just switching it up on them.
I don't know where to eat in Los Angeles. I don't know where to go.
It makes me so spread out. Find me a city that you can all these hotels, everybody can stay in all these places, the media, the players, the coaches, everybody. And then they can all get to a centralized location as efficiently and as organized.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
That's the only other one I can think of.
Fine.
I don't know logistically if
the 2024 NFL Combine presented by name one of your sponsors. I don't want to say anything.
The M-Prize Bank. Holiday Distillery.
Holiday Distillery would be good.
Yeah. They could do it. Just do everything up at the distillery.
There you go.
Hotel.
Now we're all topic.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little Combine prospects. Obviously, give you a chance at least. Anybody watching this, if you're listening to this podcast, you're watching this video, you follow the NFL pretty closely. The storyline today was the information about Jalen Carter that's come out, the fact that he left the Combine, he's not going to be here. Matt, what can you provide or just say as far as what this means for Jalen Carter? How surprised were you that it came out the day that he's here? It didn't seem unplanned that this was the day that it gets announced, the day that he's here at the Combine.
Yeah, my first reaction was that, BJ, was that the news got announced that there was an arrest warrant for him 30 minutes before he was to speak at the podium. That's a tough look. I don't know. I don't want to accuse anyone of anything, but that's a tough look. I'll say that. You know, for Jalen, you know, he's going to leave the combine and try to take care of business back in Athens. I think right now it's a wait and see. You know, he did get to meet with some teams. He did get to go through his medicals. That's the most important part here. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of follow-up now. And I think this is where your area scouts are so important, because you need those guys who cover the SEC who can say, you know, like, here's what we know about him as a person. We might not know about that event and, you know, the what happened that evening. And I know Jalen said he's going to clear his name. And I think that's where you got to have those guys who have the sources at Georgia who can talk to not just Kirby Smart, but can talk to the strength and conditioning people. They can talk to the academic counselors to find out what type of person is Jalen Carter. Because, as you know, sometimes there are players who have, they have, you know, things in their background where you might be like, our scouts have to clear that or not clear that. I'm not saying Jalen Carter is one of those guys, but that is the scout's job, is to come into the room and say, here's what I know about this guy, and here's what we're comfortable with. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's everybody's innocent until they're not.
Yeah, and I want to add a little context. Let's take a step back here. For anybody that's listening, that who is Jalen Carter as a prospect?
He is the number one or number two overall player in this draft. Yeah. And he's an amazing pass rusher who dealt with an injury this year, came back on the field and was unstoppable. We can go back to the 2021 Georgia season when they had that historic defense, 5 first-round picks. Every scout you talked to, and my own opinion was, he was the best player on that defense. So he is a fantastic player, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's unprecedented. I don't think, you know, a lot of us covered things like Laramie Tunsil, a lot of us, Manti Te'o, and the spectacle that was here. I've never covered a situation like this before.
Wow.
Yeah, just hope all ends well, right, with the situation and everything. I just hope that proper due diligence, justice serve, everything of that nature. But, BJ, we were kind of talking about earlier, I think we've had this conversation, I can't remember if it was on air or off air, just about, you know, if the Chiefs want to trade Chris Jones, we talked about Jalen Carter kind of being the guy that they might be able to trade up for if they package a couple deals of picks after they trade Chris Jones up for. That's a guy, again, that is probably going to fall in the draft with this process and everything like that. So
it's that fun hypothetical. Is
right.
If you move along, if you're going to entertain the idea of not making Chris Jones the highest paid defensive player in NFL history or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Conversation, he's earned that. Somebody's going to give him that. He's earned that money.
Correct.
If the Chiefs, and I've said this because I'm not a hypocrite, because this is what I said about Tyreek Hill. I'm never going to blame an organization for not doing their due diligence to make any player at any time the highest paid player at their position in NFL history, outside of probably quarterback. There's no reason to entertain what trading Patrick Mahomes would look like. But you're not doing your – Brett Veach would not be doing his job if he wasn't aware of this is what it would take. Well, there's not going to be a free agent like Chris Jones in this. So if you're going to replace that level of talent, find the best defensive tackle, best defensive lineman in this draft is Jalen Carter. Can you get enough assets in trading Chris Jones to somehow end up with Jalen Carter in some kind of way? Just pretend for a second that that's the case. The amount of money that you would pay Jalen Carter for the next 5 years and the player that you think he's going to be versus Chris Jones, what does that value look like for you as somebody that would speak better to it than either one of us?
I mean, he is the best defensive tackle in this draft. Let's take the off-field off the table right now because we don't know anything about it.
Right.
On the field, he's the first or second player off the board. And I think he's been a target for the Chicago Bears for a long time because Matt Eberflus needs that three technique, and Jalen Carter is the best one. I will tell you, in this draft, there's Jalen Carter, and then there is a gigantic gap. Mm-hmm. Like, think of like Kansas City to St. Louis as cities, that type of gap between Jalen Carter and the next defensive tackle on this draft, Tucker. It's not even close.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's another guy that goes in the first round. So if you're trading Chris Jones,
I know this is not a popular, it's just the conversation of
correct.
Chase the rabbit, just play it, play the whole thing out, and then at the end of it, see what you have. Because it's not just Jalen Carter for Chris Jones. You have to give up the picks too.
It's the
but what
salary,
can you do with $25 million dollars a year more?
Just like with Tyreek. It's not player for pick, it's player plus salary for picks.
Yep.
You guys know I'm a diehard Niners fan. When they traded DeForest Buckner, I wanted to break things.
Yeah.
And it had to be like people had to rationalize, even though I cover this for a living, that to be like, hey, they needed that money to pay other people. It's going to make the team better, even though they just traded their best defensive player at the time. So similar situation.
Yep. All right, let's get into the 5 draft picks five prospects that are here at the Scouting Combine, Matt, that you think could really help their case as we continue on this discussions for the next 8 weeks about the draft. Who at the end of this could we be talking about more that helped their case?
I think in 8 weeks we will look back to March 1st and say that was when Anthony Richardson went from a project to a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Is today. Like, driving in today, I swear 9 out of 10 texts I got were about Anthony Richardson and, hey, I just got on an interview with him and he's amazing. Or, you should see him in person. You know, just everybody's like gushing over Anthony Richardson. I can't wait to see him throw in person, which I've never seen him throw in person yet. But I do remember watching Josh Allen at Wyoming against Iowa. I was there for that game. He looked terrible. But then I remember seeing him at the Senior Bowl and thinking, wait, that's not the guy I saw at Wyoming. Like, he's a lot better. And then I saw him here and was like, oh, shit, he's a lot better. Then I saw his pro day and was like, never mind, that's the guy. So for Anthony Richardson, you want to see that similar, you know, progression of season, combine, pro day. Jalen Hurts kind of was the same way. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is kind of the same way. So I think that's what you want. I think Anthony Richardson shoots up this week. If he's the second quarterback off the board, I am not going to be surprised at this point.
Yeah, you look at some of the – I think this is an interesting thing about Anthony Richardson. A lot of the talk – at the very beginning of the season, he wasn't scoring very many touchdowns, right? He had zero touchdowns for like the first, I believe it was 3 weeks of the season. And then you look at his game log here against Tennessee, he had two and a pick. Then he had two more. Then he had one against Missouri, one against Louisiana. And then he went on a streak of just like scoring a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I think him, he obviously helped himself towards the end of his college career there. But I do like what he can do. And it's one of those things where, you talk about some teams like the Panthers, if Frank Reich gets Anthony Richardson in there, they're going to be really fun. If the right team gets Anthony Richardson, could be dangerous. I'd prefer to see him go to the NFC, to be honest with you.
I even think, you know, we're sitting right here in Indianapolis, and they have the fourth overall pick. Man, you need a left tackle. There's no mystery there. You've got a good offensive line. You have Michael Pittman Jr. You got Jelani Woods. Oh, you have Jonathan Taylor back there. I'm kind of the opinion of, like, let's just put him out there and see what happens, man. Like, just let him. Year one, do the things he's good at, which is what Chicago finally did with Justin Fields, and look what happened. And you know, even Deshaun Watson as a rookie, it was like, do what he's good at year one and then let him develop. So I think Richardson's going to go early. Like, he won't get out of the top 10.
Yeah. Curious to see if there's, you talk about, like, this is the way that he looks in person and all of that, because Bryce Young, consensus first pick. I already saw all of the analysis of how skinny and small he looked walking down a hallway. Of a pic, like a picture of him just getting to the combine. It's everybody was reacting to.
It looks like I did that high school.
Yeah.
Which I was like 165.
I've seen pictures of you at high school.
We look the same. Very different athletes. He's a much better quarterback, but yeah.
All right. Let's go on to the next. I was talking about quarterbacks.
My guy.
Who was that?
Brian Daboll.
I saw the beard. I couldn't tell, but that's
my homie.
So popular. You can make sure you catch Matt Miller on the big desk.
Brian Daboll, one of the nicest human beings in the world.
Former Chiefs offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll.
Yeah. It's a throwback.
Actually, to
Bama.
When we were, side stories, these are the fun ones. We were talking to Scott Pioli yesterday, and I joked with him about the Brian Daboll hiring when the Chiefs hired him.
Yeah.
Of offensive coordinator. They announced it. They sent the press release out on a Friday night at like 10:30 at night. I go, you set the stage that he was not going to be successful because that's the time that you announced things you don't really want people talking about. He just kind of laughed.
He's great, man.
But love that cool. You're so popular. You're like a little celebrity. It's like walking
with
around.
Brian Daboll, yeah. If you, like, put me in a room with people
NFC
that all
coach.
They do is, like, watch film and drink beer, and I'm really popular.
He's the NFC Coach of the Year in the 101 Awards.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
Good stuff.
Coach.
All right, let's move on to the next player.
Yeah, I'm going to stay on offense. I think Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver from Tennessee, there's so much talk about Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jordan Addison, Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers. I think Jalen Hyatt runs a 4.2, and he puts his name on the map. Think about the past, what we've seen, these small, fast wide receivers, Henry Ruggs, Will Fuller, Corey Coleman. I know I'm not saying the names of good wide receivers.
John Ross.
But
Kansas City Chiefs future.
Yeah, thank you, future John Ross. I know that I'm not saying the name of great wide receivers, but they all went much earlier than expected because of that speed. I think even last year, Jahan Dotson, you know, going earlier than expected. Or, you know, I mean, there's a lot. Jalen Reagor going one spot ahead of Justin Jefferson. Again, not great receivers, I know, but there's a precedent for speed going early. I think Jalin Hyatt is a better prospect than a lot of those guys I just named. He is someone that should go, I mean, I think in the early 20s is where his stock should be.
Nice.
Looking at DraftKings Sportsbook right now, Quentin Johnson is the odds-on favorite for the first wide receiver selected at plus 110. Jalin Hyatt, you can get pretty good value at plus 550. And he's the fourth best odds as the first wide receiver taken. I know a lot of people very high on Quentin Johnson, but as you mentioned, if he comes out and runs really well, I think that could be a real smart bet to place down.
Quentin's going to run well.
Yes, he will.
He's probably going to run like a 4-4 flat. I just don't know if he's going to catch the ball in the gauntlet. And, you know, he doesn't know either, because if he catches the damn thing, he's going to score. But who knows?
I mean,
career drop rate of almost 12%.
Did you tell me if I'm wrong? It was either Field or Emery. When we were talking with them earlier, they said the wide receivers in this class is very much an eye of the beholder, and that if you compared, you know, five or six different teams' wide receiver rankings, you could get a completely different look.
That's just absolutely
because of this
true. And normally you would because of scheme fit. Yeah. This year you will because, like, Jaxon Smith-Njigba had one of the greatest days a receiver has ever had in the Rose Bowl against Utah, and then he caught five passes the next year. So it's like, what do we do with this guy? And even Jordan Addison is really good, but is he only a slot? You know, he's probably bulked up. He's going to be like 180 pounds. So I think there are a lot of question marks. You could drive a Mack truck through the holes in all the receivers this year. Even Jalin Hyatt, you know, he has some drops at times. It's not to the level of Zay Flowers or Quentin Johnston, but they're there on tape.
All right, we're going to get to the next three players that can help their draft stock here at the NFL Scouting Combine with ESPN's Matt Miller right after this quick break.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Welcome back to Tin Roof, the bar here in Indianapolis, downtown Indianapolis. We're hanging out. I'm BJ Kissel, Tucker Franklin, with special guest Matt Miller from ESPN, giving us his five players who can help themselves at the Combine here. More than anyone else, we've got Anthony Richardson, quarterback out of Florida, and we just talked Jalin Hyatt, the wide receiver out of the University of Tennessee. Matt, who else do you got for us?
Can I cheat and say two guys from the same school for number three and number four? Do you want some variety here?
It's allowed.
Okay, let's go defensive end, a position that you guys might be interested in, depending on what happens to number 55, who is a postseason hero.
Giving up every year. Check.
Right? No.
I know.
One player I think will really help himself this week is Miles Murphy, the defensive end from Clemson. You watch his tape, guys, and you're like, man, that's a really good run defender who's, like, you know, got some pass rush to it. I feel like he is at this blank canvas that just needs coached up. He's 6'5", 275. He's going to run in the 4.5s. He's going to jump over 35 on the vert. He's going to jump over 10 in the broad. He benches like 405.
Yeah.
He should shoot up. Remember last year when we were here, it was Aiden Hutchinson going to be the first pick.
Yeah.
Then Trevon Walker looks like Superman out there, and he's the first pick. I don't think Miles Murphy will have that type of climb, but I do think he's going to put himself in the conversation of top 12, top 13 pick in this class.
You mentioned that frame, and that's a get off the bus first team type of frame.
Yeah,
is what you like, and you know the Steve Spagnuolo likes those types of frames too. So that's a guy to look in. I'm interested to see what his numbers come in for arm length officially for the combine, because, you know, sometimes those numbers are very place to place. So
yeah,
curious to see that and see his fit. But again, that's probably a guy that you're looking at trading up for. And we have this conversation, it seems like, every year when we talk about the Chiefs. If they want a good edge, they got to trade up and go get one. Not necessarily George Karloftis. They didn't have to trade up for that guy.
Just luck. Just luck.
There is. There is. But, I mean, I think because they were talking about trading up for George Karloftis at some point. So, I mean,
and he was your second first-round pick.
Right.
Like, correct. It's amazing.
Yeah. So there's a lot that goes into it. And if the Chiefs do want to get an edge rusher, if it does come to that opportunity, then they're going to probably have to trade up for him.
Yeah. And I think one thing, sorry, BJ, that can help Miles Murphy is, you know, Will Anderson's only doing some workouts.
Correct.
Tyree Wilson, not working out. So we're going to see, like, Lucas Van Ness from Iowa is going to be really, really good too. He would be another player I would put right in that category. So I think that's going to be fun to watch. The guys who are working out have an opportunity to shine because some of the guys who aren't.
Let's stay at this position because I think there's an interesting storyline here. We saw how successful the Chiefs rookies were this past year. Fourth most snaps played by a rookie class. Also happened to win the Super Bowl, which is crazy. Normally it's teams that are struggling, all the young guys playing. We saw it. Three cornerbacks plus an edge rusher. From a roster composition, from a financial standpoint of what you can do with the salary cap, your expensive positions, obviously quarterback is expensive. Cornerback is expensive. Pass rusher is expensive.
Left tackle.
If left tackle is expensive. And we'll put a pin in left tackle. I'm sure we'll come back to that one.
Yeah.
But for edge rusher, George Karloftis on a rookie deal. If they can nail it again with another edge rusher and you have two starting edge rushers on rookie deals and three corners on rookie deals, we throw around the word dynasty. A lot of things have to come together. Yeah. But from putting it on paper, what's the best thing that you could come up with to have guys on rookie deals outside of quarterback again? You get two edge rushers and multiple defensive backs that are expensive.
Buffalo tried to do, you know, Gregory Rousseau, Butch Basham, AJ Epinesa. Right. I mean, they were throwing picks trying to do exactly that. To my knowledge, there's no one right now who has that like figured out of like, hey, we've got two rookie pass rushers who are amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of teams have tried it.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys will be another first.
So who are some of those guys that are going to be available? I know we're talking some of the top guys in this draft that having to trade up, but who could be there in any kind of scenario? And I say that and I almost cringe because by the time we get to like mid-April, and if you start doing this, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to text you and be like, you're doing it just like we talked about at Tin Roof. But we project like 65 players to be first-round picks.
So I actually
every year.
So I put an article out every 4 weeks that is my actual first-round like grades.
Okay.
So it's like, and there are like, I have a limit, not 31 like you would think. It's like, I even have 19 and I feel like that's too many. I need to pare it down a little bit. So that's something I'm aware of. I would have said to you yesterday morning, Will McDonald from Iowa State, and then my buddy Mel Kiper puts him at 8 overall in his mock draft, and I was like, well, there goes that. Like, never mind. I thought Will had a great Senior Bowl. He kind of fits that model of good length, good speed, and I think we'll see if Spags evolves a little bit. I thought Karloftis was even a little off the you know, what they usually go for traits-wise, but Derek Hall at Auburn fits that mold.
Okay.
Lucas Van Ness and Sorry Tucker is not going to be there at 31, so he would be great. I hate to do this. I'm not pining for clicks. It's Felix.
I was gonna bring him up next.
Felix
didn't tell you about it because there's a fits.
His production went down this year. That's the only thing, but I think you can explain that.
He got a lot of double teams. He got a lot of attention over there, but man, that when he turns it on, he can take it over.
I took Nick's chair today. I got to mention a K-State player. So.
Yeah, and Nick would love you. Talk trenches. Yeah. Nick's going to love it.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on to the fourth player that you think could help themselves here.
I thought I was going to cheat and go back to the same school. It's Trenton Simpson, the linebacker from Clemson. He's going to test exceptionally well. I feel like if you go back to 21, he was playing weak side backer, and he became this I'm not comparing him to Micah Parsons, but he became this Micah Parsons-like dude where he was, like, getting sacks. He was getting interceptions. He was just playing all over. This year, because of need, he had to play more inside backer, and it affected his production. It really did. I think in the NFL, he's going to move to weak side where he's much more comfortable. He's going to test really, really well. And, you know, we haven't talked a lot about first-round linebackers this year, but I do think he is a first-round true off-ball backer.
I know we had some comments when we were doing our live show kind of talking about the pressers about linebackers. And Chiefs have hit with Nick Bolden. They've hit that area. It seems like Leo Chanel really started to grow into his role.
That gave
his
career as the Super Bowl.
Right. So, I mean, that's going to help.
The parade when he climbed that damn bus. That was the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
Okay, let's go ahead. Stay here for a second.
Yeah.
I actually joked that what they should have done is tell any fan, If you can do that, we'll let you stay on the bus.
Or sign you.
Watch a bunch of drug vans like jumping out trying to get
on the bus. I have a buddy who's like 6'2", 6'2½. At the time, he was about 290, and he tried telling us he could run a 4.8. And I said, if you run a 4.8, I will call Brett Beach today and get you a contract at that size if you can run a 4.8.
Yeah.
Fast forward, he didn't, because he's not a Kansas City Chief. But it's kind of that same idea of like, hey, if you can do that, like, we'll sign you.
His name
ran like a 5.5, like a 5.5½, which, you know, is respectable.
Yeah, it's
Brandon Williams.
That's who it was, wasn't it?
It was not.
Brandon got signed, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you talked about the linebacker position. We had questions about, like, do the Chiefs go linebacker again? Maybe try to bolster some of that depth in that room. I would be very shocked if they went linebacker first round.
Yeah, but, it doesn't feel like they would go there early. And right. I think, like I said, we don't talk about first round linebackers. I think there's a lot better depth this year. We saw it at the Senior Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's a lot of depth that's not first round. So,
like, I'm excited to see. I mean, we're sitting here, we do it every year. That's why the Combine, Tucker, you and I talked about this off camera. The Combine's also such a weird time for content.
Yeah.
Especially even winning the Super Bowl. There's still talk about the Super Bowl and kind of that Super Bowl hangover and still the storylines coming from it. There's still a few stragglers, but at this point, it's like, it'll be starting to turn the page, but for the most part, the audience isn't as into the draft as everyone else, so it's kind of high level, but you want to get in all the, like, all the nerdy sleepers and all this, and most of the audience isn't quite ready for that yet.
Well, even with free agency, you know, like, a lot of your audience, because I've done this for a lot of other teams, they don't want to hear that Orlando Brown Jr. might leave or that Frank Clark might think cut. Right now, it's like, no, we're running that shit back. You know,
yeah, right.
Wait, you might not be. Like, there's going to be decisions made, like a Tyreek Hill, like a Tyrann Mathieu.
Yep.
And Brett Veach and Andy Reid are great at what they do, so it will probably work out. But, I know where you're coming from, where you don't want to hear about the additions. You want to hear about what we just looked.
Yes, and it's just it's interesting time. And that was all to say, this is before free agency. And what the Chiefs have always been really good at is we're sitting here right now saying, like, this is a problem. Like, not a problem, but this is an issue they have to take care of. This is an issue they have to take care of.
Yeah.
And if Brett Veach is doing his job, by the time you get through free agency and you're like, okay, where are the big holes? They don't have any.
Right.
Because you're not going to count on, especially at 31, you're not going to count on any position to be
that's
figured out in the draft. We're done here.
That's what I was told last year was Brett Veach is not going to trust a bunch of rookies to protect, or 2 years ago, excuse me, to protect Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And then they got Tua.
I was like,
you know, and then they got, and they traded a first for it. Another guy. So, you know what? I feel it this way about Brett Veach. He is unpredictably brilliant. So it's like, as soon as we start saying, like, nah, Veach won't do that, he's going to do it.
Right.
So I just don't say that anymore.
I think it's interesting, too, if you look at Brett Veach's track record, he doesn't go into drafts with very glaring needs, especially to address in the first round. As you guys have kind of already talked about, and I've had this conversation with the lab guys, too, and kind of the philosophy of how they want to build this roster of, okay, in the free agency, let's take a look. Let's address the offense, right? Let's tag Orlando Brown. Let's either do that or let's trade for a wide receiver. Let's find a wide receiver on the market. Let's bring back Juju, Justin Watson. Any combination of that, let's address that in free agency. And on the defensive side of the ball, that's where they're going to kind of really, because they're already young over there, and just keep going, keep reaching on the defense with to the draft. And I'd be excited to see what they do come that time, because we know, sitting here now, wide receiver is kind of an issue. Let's be honest. There's three guys on the roster right now. You're going to need more than three guys to play, and even though they did try to do it against the Jaguars.
John Ross and Justin Ross. We know.
Yeah, we know John Ross and Justin.
We've got to add that because somebody's going to tell us.
Somebody tell us about them. But yeah. But
and T. Higgins is not on the market, is what Duke Tobin said. So
yeah.
You could forget
very
about
that. Adamant about that.
If you want a receiver to find one, I loved that. It's like.
It's true. Him.
Yeah.
He's going to need to sell.
Is Tyler Boyd available, though?
Right.
That's a solid point.
Should have been the follow-up.
Joe Mar Chase gets traded.
Right?
It's like we told you, the T. Higgins.
Right.
They wouldn't do that.
That's funny.
All right, let's get to your fifth player. Line, as soon as we get this last one, and then we're going to get your thoughts on, we're going to early prediction on Chiefs draft pick.
Okay, last player.
Yes.
Just a little bit off the radar. DJ Turner from Michigan, and I tweeted this, and I got a lot of pushback. I think DJ Turner's going to run his way into the first round. The measurables are all there for him to be a great corner. The tape's a little inconsistent. He's a little bit lean. He's probably like 180, 185. I actually thought he played really, really well. But I don't know what the DraftKings odds say because I don't do that. But
Tucker's all over
it. DJ Turner should be in the top five fastest players at the Combine. So if you're looking for that corner who could be your surprise because of traits, I think DJ Turner fits.
I think corners are an interesting one, too, because when you talk about the way that this roster is constructed, they hit on four of them. Legarius Sneed is going to come up, and he's going to want a big payday. Do they take a guy in the first round again where they can feel all right letting Legarius Sneed walk and getting his money when they can have a guy that can come perform well?
All those guys are considered veterans. Is Trent McDuffie, like, he played so much. Well, Williams, those guys have played enough. Yeah. It's like, listen, we don't need to put a veteran. We don't need to pay Legarius Sneed to be a veteran in that room because we're comfortable with these three guys. And to your point, not have to spend that money and allocate that money somewhere else. I'm all about paying guys. Legarius Sneed's done everything. He's versatile. Absolutely pay that guy. But the roster composition of normally you get some veterans, you get some young guys.
Right.
How does that play out with four young guys who all had experience last year?
I think the thing is your safeties need to be veterans if it's going to work out that way. You know, and so you have Justin Reed. You got your veterans, right?
Yeah.
You got one. And also it's, to the maturity of your locker room. You know, I mean, I've told you this story before. When the Chiefs were trying to trade Marcus Peters all those years ago, I heard from a source that they called Indy. And Chris Ballard, like, hey, come get your guy. And he was like, my locker room can't hold him right now. Like, it's not a good ecosystem for Marcus Peters. And so I think, like, you know, Trent McDuffie is super mature. He's a really, like, just heady guy. So, yeah, he is kind of your veteran where you could probably bring in another rookie or two, whether it be a corner or a safety, and he's going to fill in that gap a little bit.
And that's interesting you bring up the Marcus Peters. It just reminded me of the story, and I don't know if I've shared this story before, that I talked with Chris Ballard the night they drafted Marcus Peters because Doris had told me to, because Ballard was the one guy that wasn't all in on him before they picked him. So Dorsey sent Ballard out to McClymonds, out to Oakland, to spend time with Marcus and his family like 2 days before the draft. He's like, listen, we're all on the same page. It's the guy we want. John trusted Chris's instincts enough to be like, you're not into it. Go spend some time with him. Come back and tell us how you feel. He went out there for 2 days or day, whatever it was, came back and he's like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Going there and seeing what he was about around where he grew up in his hometown, his community, what that community means to him, and that has all come out since then.
Yeah.
But it's interesting they reach out to him, and he knew exactly what Marcus was about.
Yeah.
And that got to give him a little extra attention, whatever, however you want to say it, as a player that runs hot and cold. But calling Ballard, he was one of the guys that knew everything about Marcus and what he was about, where he's from, all that, what made him tick, all that stuff, as well as anyone.
Like you said, it goes to roster construction. Like, you know, the three of us might be really good together if we've got another person there. We might be terrible without, you know, kind of whether it be somebody who's going to make sure we're at meetings on time or make sure we're practicing hard. You know, it's just, there's a lot that goes into it.
All right, more from Matt Miller right after this quick break. We're going to have him predict who the Chiefs are going to select. Because I know you know.
No pressure.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Welcome back to Outside the Trenches. I'm BJ Kissel. That's Tucker Franklin. Hanging out with ESPN's Matt Miller. He's given us his five players that he thinks can help themselves the most here at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indy. And now, Matt, we're going to put you on the hot seat a little bit. I know we haven't gone through free agency. We're 8 weeks away from the draft, but we can revisit this when you get this right. I want three players.
Oh, wow. That's even harder.
No, you get three chances at who the Chiefs will select. I won't even say at 31 with their first pick. Whether they move up, move back, whatever it is, give me three players as we sit here today with absolutely no information as far as what they do in free agency that could change everything. Give me three names.
Okay.
So I can clip this, go back and show it and be like, I told
make
you.
Me look bad. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to
pick three guys that all get drafted in the forest. No one's a fat guy.
Yeah, right. I probably have like deer in the headlights on camera. I'm going to start with Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College. I understand that it's like I'm typecasting a little bit here. Like, oh, another short, very fast wide receiver. But I know I've said to you before, BJ, this is not a gadget guy. You know, like a lot of Tyreek was a gadget guy. Meikle was a gadget guy. Sky Moore was a better receiver, but we've seen where he needs to just develop in the route tree. I think Zay Flowers is ahead of where all those guys were as route runners coming out.
Yeah.
Zay Flowers, that would be my number one. You want to three?
Yeah, we'll spend some time on Zay Flowers. Okay, let's talk with the East-West Triangle.
Give me a chance to think.
There you go. His change of direction, and you talk about like Mecole Hardman, some of the guys he's compared. Mecole Hardman didn't run a lot of those routes that we saw from Zay Flowers, and just watching their highlights or their tape. Like, it's just, it's a different, same kind of speed. I think Zay Flowers may be a little shiftier, quicker, where the long speed of Mecole was faster.
Yeah.
But there was a lot more contested catches, a lot more of the physicality that you see from Zay Flowers and watching through his highlights, where with Mecole, is like Andy Reid will find a use for him. Like, this, he's a fun player that's going to have a fun package. And they're similar to like Kadarius Toney. But Zay Flowers is different. He's not super big. I don't want to compare him to another 5'10 receiver that was a good athlete, ran great routes, made all kinds of plays, because I'm not good at comparisons. But when I saw his frame, he reminded me of somebody that is just one of those players you don't compare anybody to it right now.
That's why I don't do it. Not doing it. I know who you're thinking of, but
he's kind of lost it.
Elijah Moore, is that who you're thinking of? Okay.
It wasn't go. That's not who it was, but we'll go with Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I'm trying to help you out here. I know Tucker, you spent some time with Zay Flowers.
Yeah.
Fan?
Yeah, I do like Zay Flowers, and I think it was really interesting, too, is he started off the Shrine Bowl saying, not going to practice, not going to play, just here doing the teams.
Yeah.
And then the next day, like, well, he's going to practice now. And he practiced, and there were... The talent there, you could tell it. Against all these other players, you're like, okay, that guy's different. And the big story going into to this week, he's added 13 pounds of muscle.
He looks amazing.
He looks
I need to hit up to his trainer.
I know.
There was some coaching and some scouts that were a little surprised that he went out to the Shrine Bowl and wasn't going to work out. And so the first day, he's like, I'm not going to work out. I was like, you're not what? Next day, working.
Who was it? Was it A.J. Green or Calvin Johnson, one of those guys? They were here. They were going to run, and then they get pressure, so they borrowed cleats and ran like a 4.3.
Yeah.
And it was like, someone will comment and remind me who it was. It was like A.J. Green or Calvin Johnson, or maybe it was Julio. It was one of those three.
It's Chris Jones. That's why I fell.
Right. I don't think that's why I fell. I
can't show that clip.
Never mind.
Get flacked by YouTube.
Yeah.
You will.
Anyway, so my second player, another curveball for you. I'm going to say Darnell Washington, the tight end from Georgia. I think one thing that Veach has done well is he drafts for need, but also future need. I think Travis Kelce is the greatest tight end of all time, but Travis is 33 years old, right?
33?
I think 33.
Yeah.
Going to be.
Yeah, a good 6 years left.
Every player at some point slows down.
Yeah.
It might be 6 more years, but I think the idea of adding a 6'7", 270-pound tight end who runs a 4.5 and is the best run blocker in this class is a pretty good place to be in.
I haven't watched this guy, but...
You haven't watched Darnell Washington?
I have.
Oh, my God, DJ.
Is he number zero?
Yeah.
I've watched it. With that Georgia team, there's a lot of attention on Brock Bowers and right
as there will be.
Yeah.
But he was always...
Adam McConkey.
Yeah. He was always that guy taking a jet sweep and then hurdling over a guy.
Yeah, he only had 27 catches this year, but he is, You know, like when we were on high school and they're like, all right, you come off the bus first. That's him.
The problem, love talking about Travis Kelce because he is the greatest of all time. He's a good dude. He does so much for the community and all that. And like, I wanted to play forever. And I think his game will translate. He loses some athleticism.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
We saw Antonio Gates at like 47 years old, barely being able to move, get open.
Jerry Rice played until he was like 42.
Yeah. Travis Kelce could do that. The problem is he's so damn good at everything else that he does it.
Saturday Night Live thing's not going to help.
Yeah. He's going to absolutely crush it. He can get into movies. He can get into commentating. He could basically be like a Pat Matt. We've already seen it. Like he and his brothers had to launch a podcast. Number one podcast in the world. The second they start doing it. And it's freaking awesome. That's going to allure him away. He's like, he's going to make more money when he's done playing
and
football
not get
than he
hit
while he's playing football and not get hit and knowing what his body goes through and knowing that he puts it on the line for his guys. We saw him play through a lot of stuff. Yeah. He's banged. He's on the injury report all the time. He's always banged up, but he plays through it. And how long does he want to continue doing that knowing he's already at the top of most of the record books when you talk about tight ends, especially in the postseason? We saw him breaking more records past Gronk than those postseason touchdowns by an NFL tight end. I mean, we talked about it on Mondays with our stock up, stock down. We started getting into all the superlatives that he's, like, rivaling now Jerry Rice for postseason numbers.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah,
I know the numbers. Granted,
he's a little ways up there, but, like, he's the next guy to go catch
right.
for any pass catcher, not just amongst tight ends.
Like, we've seen it with Noah Gray. I'm a belldozer guy. I love Blake. That role is important. And my thing is, like, Andy is so good, and Matt, they're so good. If you have that grouping out on the field, no one knows what you're doing.
Right.
It's like, oh, they're double tight. But one's Travis Kelce and the other's 6'8".
Like,
I don't know what they're doing.
I just pictured him jogging out with like Darius Tony and
right.
like all these guys. And you're like, well, that rookie dude. You're like, well, we're going to leave him open. And then some like 5'11", 6 foot tall linebacker is going to be matched
so, like,
up on.
That's my thing. It's just a mismatch. It'd be so much fun. So I'm a Darnell Washington guy.
We already saw the Chiefs this year a lot come out in 13 personnel with Jody Force and Noah Gray and Blake Bell, whoever was healthy at the time. They'd do that, but imagine just adding him in there. Yeah, I think that'd be something. But
fun.
talk about value a lot with first round picks. You want your first round pick to come out and play on
produce,
be productive on their first year of their rookie deal. That's an interesting one where you can say, okay, he can be productive in other ways than just strictly statistical raw
downing stats.
Yeah, and it's not he's not just like, you know, I love Kyle Pitts, but it's like, oh well, we've got this slot tight end who he is a slot tight end. With Darnell Washington, it's like, oh man, he's a better blocker than some offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
it's good.
All right. We've got a receiver.
Yep.
We've got a tight end. Who's the third?
I'm going to go Will McDonald. I know my mentor, my godfather, Mel Kiper, put him in the top 10, and I love you, Mel. I think that's a little rich. I do think Will McDonald would be fantastic, and he fits. One thing I've noticed with Brett Veach is he's going to draft people that were productive. You know, George Karloftis, super productive. Nick Bolton, super productive. Trent McDuffie, again, with the production. So I think with those early picks from Veach, generally big school, productive. Will McDonald checks all those boxes.
He does for sure. And he had, obviously, you mentioned earlier, that Senior Bowl really did help him out. And watching some of that Senior Bowl one-on-ones, just the tape from him and team two, you're just like, oh, this guy really jumps
he's
off.
He's got that long arm, and you're just like, well, shit.
Okay. He fits the specs, too, the specs type. So if he does get down there, I think if he gets around that kind of the 20, pick 20 mark, I'm starting to get a little anxious. Like, okay, maybe the Chiefs need to move up for this guy because I think he can be a guy that can impact the red right.
Chiefs have 12 picks. They do not have 12 spots on their roster.
Yeah, well, they don't.
They cannot take 12 guys and expect a player they draft that they like, they put resources into, to actually make their team. So how many selections do they actually end up with?
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah. They know that going in. Like,
the tree, it's when they were in their heyday, they would do that. They'd come in and draft, and you're like, damn, they got like 12, 13 picks. And then they're drafting like five guys.
And they'll have 12, 13. They'll trade future picks. And right, if they want to do that, just keep kicking the can down the road. You're in a position that you said.
Was it day three last year? They just kept trading out. Someone last year just kept trading for future picks. I thought maybe it was.
No, they were too busy drafting Dave Pacheco and all those guys.
Yeah.
Sure. Got it done.
That was a pretty solid day three. Like, we talk about this a lot about Brett Veach. Not only is he really good on day three of the draft, but the undrafted free agent market, too, where the ability he is to, like, nab guys off of the undrafted market is...
He's way ahead on that stuff. You know, he's great. He's great at what he does.
I have thought there was going to be a King Felix comment there.
I just don't want to do that, too. You know? I need to... You K-Staters, I got
to... lead you on.
King Felix would be a great pick. He really would.
Is that around where you project him?
That's around. Yeah.
Something
that's funny is when the year started, I thought late first. And then throughout the year, I was like, I'm going to move him down. And then I moved him right back to where he was.
Some of the guys, I watch him too much, so I don't see him in that kind of way. Be like, I can't compare him to anything else. I watch K-State.
Mine is more to draw Texas players than you would think. Oh, he's a Texas fan. He's a homer. I'm harder on those guys because I've seen them play so much. You know, so it's like, I've watched every snap of every game of your career, whereas like a King Felix, I've watched, you know, eight games over the last 2 years at this point, probably.
Yeah. Julius Brents.
Hey, man, he had a great Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
Great Senior Bowl. Not a first rounder.
Fred.
Right. Third round?
Okay.
Yeah.
Day two.
There's a lot of conversation. Is he a corner? Is he a safety? I think he proved immobile he's a corner.
Yeah. He can move. He's big. He can tackle.
That's why those all-star games are so important, because you can just...
It
gets you out of your comfort zone, and you have to just show who you are as a football player.
This is a terrible... I'm not good at this. But L'Jarius Sneed, Julius Brents?
Brents is a lot more physical. It's a lot bigger. I think L'Jarius is a lot more fluid. So, like, I wouldn't want Brents in the slot doing some of the things L'Jarius does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk about those.
There are guys who do that.
Right.
We'll talk about that on another show, because it'll take an hour. Brian Branch, Alabama. If you can get Brian Branch...
That'd be fun.
He was not in Mel's first round. I was like, that's the one guy. I was like, what? And it's like, no one knows what he is. And remember, Dax Hill went 31 last year. They're very similar players. So
Spax loves
who's the other one? Lewis C.
Is he in Lewis C. went 31 to Minnesota. Yeah, 32 to Minnesota. Yeah.
Any other players you just want to throw the name out there so we can clip it?
I've got like 700 names in my head, so I don't know that you want to do that.
Word vomit.
Right, just here, I'm going to say 30 people, and I'll get it right.
There you go.
Half a second.
You literally said, don't project 60 guys, or I'm going to remind you of what you did.
No, they project 60 guys for the Chiefs' first pick. Everyone's like, oh, they're a first-round pick, and then you talk about somebody else, oh, he's a first-round pick, too. I'm like,
guarantee you they will not take a running back in the first round ever
again.
Don't
do that.
So.
Don't tease me. I will say.
Is there a running back going to
Bijan?
Bijan, yeah.
Texas.
You think he's going to go first?
Yeah, yeah. He's like one of the best running back prospects of the last 20 years. He'll go first.
No.
Yeah, he's good.
Pretty nice. That is pretty. The last 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, he's like with Zeke, Saquon. He's like that kind of guy.
Really?
Yeah, he's good. You should watch more Texas football.
I was too busy watching Darren.
Good football.
Darren's roles. I was too busy watching Deuce Vaughn at place.
Yeah. He'll do a little later than Bijan will.
Yeah. I do want to talk about Broderick Johnson. Who's a guy that...
Jones.
Jones, yeah.
From Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, who Mel Kiper threw out his epic 31 for the Chiefs.
Shocked me. Yeah. You saw him talking about him last night.
Yeah. No, he's great. He's a one-year guy, so there's... Right. I think that's the... It's a lot of a projection of where is he going to play. I know Mel thought he could play left or right tackle, which I agree with. You know, he's a bully. The thing is, he's 6'4". So that could hurt his stock. We're going to find out what his arm length is here.
Yeah.
It's not wild to think he could be there at 31. And that's where, like... They have to do such good homework this week because if there's a chance that guy's there at 31, yeah, that's pretty cheap as opposed to maybe paying someone $20 million a year to play a position.
Right, and we talk about Orlando Brown, but Andrew Wiley's contract is also up.
Andrew Wiley said he would re-sign him. Yeah.
You're looking at trying to replace both left and right tackle, so.
Yeah. You can't wait to make that decision.
No, you can't.
That's the problem is that the timing goes, and if you talked about this, NBA, you have the –
Draft first,
right? And then you figure out everything after the fact. You can't do that with this. You can't decide, okay, if we want Broderick, set him at that spot. You can't just tell Orlando Brown Jr., just wait. Just hang out. Don't sign with anybody else. We'll give you the same deal.
I mean, you could franchise tag him. He's probably not going to sign it until after the draft. So you have options.
They're not going to just let him walk. That's the one.
Why would you let him work for
your time? Or you're extending him. Like, those are the two things that are going to happen.
Which means he's
going to
get tagged anyway.
Right.
Right.
And that's
I'm just fascinated.
Contracts.
Again, not to open up into a whole other bag of worms here at the end of this show, but I'm really interested the contract, because it was reported what he was offered last year and got turned down. What is this year's contract compared to what he was offered last year?
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
It's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that conversation with someone in Mobile about that exact scenario, actually, and it's going to be interesting to see.
All right. We appreciate everybody for hanging out for this episode of Outside the Trenches. We will have more content from the Scouting Combine over the next several days for Tucker Franklin and BJ Kissel. Special guest Matt Miller. Make sure you check out all the ESPN's Combine coverage. You'll see Matt
everywhere
on TV with Mel Kiper the next 8 weeks.
Eight weeks. And then I'm going back and I'm Aaron Rodgers into this thing. I'm going to my tunnel. I'm out.
He's going to go watch film in a dark room.
Right.
For the next month and put out mock drafts.
Pretty much.
All right. Love to hear it. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We'll see you next time.